We're almost finished the first half of this teaching, believe it or not. We're almost done. Almost done. First half. And we got to do this for you because I want to give you a insight into what Kingdom Time is about and how it works and how it functions in our mind, in our heart, and our soul, and our body, too. All right? Now, yesterday, we looked at 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and we'll just kind of bounce through that. Number one, you're instructed to be united in mind. Romans 12:16, 1 Peter 3:8, or have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. Then we talked about may your heart, frequency means mind, be pure, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 1, Jeremiah 19:5. Then we talked about your spirit, may your spirit, Ezekiel 11:5, 36, 37, be new. May your soul, 1 Chronicles 28:9, Psalm 23, be whole. May your body reflect his power, Psalm 107:20. Now, we really zeroed in on the 1 Peter chapter 5 when it talks about know how your enemy opposes you. Know how your enemy opposes you. You're ignorant if you don't participate with him. That's what he thinks about. You're ignorant if you don't participate with me. Number two, he detects hidden trauma in you. You must remove its effects. Hidden trauma. Pretty thorough yesterday. Three, the enemy has schemes and tactics to change times and laws to make your faith empty. This is all coming from 1 Peter chapter 5. We also looked at what's covenant-breaking strategies. Then last week, you fail to counteract faith destroyers, escape slavery, and ponder the enemy. Okay, now let me show you some new stuff today. Now I'll show you what his tactics is going to create in you. All right, here's how his tactics work in you. All right, the first thing he does, among many, is apathy and simply being dull, being passive, unfeeling, barren, inactive. That's what happens. We get that, what's the use? What's the use? As a pastor, I've had that before in my life many times. Oh, what's the use? You know? My goodness. You tell them again and again and again and again, and they do the same thing again and again and again and again. You know, and that's the problem. And, Margaret, I'm just tired of doing this. They get blessed on Sunday and they lose it on Monday. And they get blessed on Tuesday and lose it on Thursday. They come back to church on Sunday and they get blessed again. And this has been going on for years. You know, I'm going to sit here. I know one guy that got so really attacked by the enemy, he simply said, told his secretary, pastor of a huge church, another part of the country, he said, you know what? I know what I'm going to do. I don't want any calls. I don't want anybody knocking on my door unless the church is burning down. And even think about it before you do. And I'm going to go in my office and close the door. And I don't want anybody to bother me until I come out. So that's what happened. He told his secretaries, I understand that. I've had plenty of them. I had a whole stable full of them. Just everywhere. I had 35 employees, and that's the way I felt. Walk in the office, shut the door. Now, that's what he did. But he did something that I didn't do. Maybe because they didn't have the connection. He had a TV in his office connected to whatever. And he found the cartoon channel. And he sat there for hours watching Bugs Bunny and Elmer Fudd, the famous Looney Tunes. Just that's what he did. He sat there and laughed. And he said, I remember that. Oh, yeah, I remember that. The Road Runner and the Coyote. And he sat there watching cartoons. And after hours of this, he opened the door. He said, okay, get my calls. And the calls started to come in and resumed his schedule. He felt being dull and unfeeling and barren, didn't want to do anything. Now, you probably have not watched the cartoon channel, but you've had that feeling in your life, I guarantee you have, where you said, oh, gee, wow, nothing's really happening here. That's a tactic of the enemy to create that. Secondly, now the result of this laziness and hastiness and, you know, presumption and poverty, that's what happens. There's a result of that. There's a result of all that. Things just really become, the presumption develops. And out of that comes poverty. You know that? I tell you what, I'm going to be honest here. All right? Now, why so many people are in poverty? Is because they have the mindset of poverty. That's right. Mark and I were talking about a certain restaurant this morning. And we used to go there all the time. And I like it. I'm not telling you who it is because it's unfair to the general company. But, you know, and Margaret called them the other day. They get a great buffet. Noon. Loved it. Great. My producer, Richard Banky, and I, we were producing all those 1,000 television programs in 10 years over the air, not just on internet, over the air. They were broadcast. And Richard and I would go down. We produced sometimes 4 and 5 television programs a day. That's right. I'm talking about a day. And we'd do a few, and we had guests in, and it was a very popular program. It's called The Bible Speaks Today and The Word. I did an hour, right? Some with guests, and some just with me teaching. And we'd do them all within, for instance, we do them over 3 months' time. That's right. We do 104 television programs that was over-the-air broadcasting. And they hit AM 8, which was a great big satellite sitting right above the horizon. And I'd walk into a place like in Indiana. Morgan and I went shopping, great place to buy clothes, suits. I walked in there, and a man walks over to me and says, I watch you on television. I said, thank you so much. Now, what I'm saying to you is this. We do all that. And I'm saying this because Morgan and I says, you know where I want to go? She goes, where? I said, I want to go to the restaurant, not going to name it, that Richard Banky, my producer, and I would eat at a couple times a week. So we called. Take out only. So we called another one of the like stripe. No, take out only. And I said to her, this morning I said that to her. I said, you know why they don't open? It's all takeout. I said, it's not because of disease or this COVID nonsense. It's because people won't work. And then they complain about their poverty and about no one helps them. And they do this and they do that. And they sit back under the tactics that we're talking about here. And they don't work. They don't do anything. You just hang around like kick a can down the street. That's what that happens. That's an absolute tactic of the enemy. Tactic of the enemy. So Margaret and I said, okay, that's fine. We'll find another like restaurant. And we did. And she said, you want to go there? I said, let's go there. We called up. Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We got it. Morgan and I go in there tonight, eat. Could have went to the other place. But Morgan and I go in there at night. Why? Because of poverty and laziness and these tactics by the enemy. That may offend a whole lot of people, but I'm just telling you the way it is. Next is pride and exaltation. This leads to conceit and complacency. You know it all. Job 32:13. You know everything. These are tactics at the enemy. I call it an unteachable spirit. They just won't be taught. Unteachable spirit. They just have unteachable spirits. You can't tell me nothing, Zimmer. You can't from your podium and your teaching ministries, you can't tell me nothing. I know everything. Is that right? See, that's a spirit that comes in from the powers of evil. And then no illumination. A blocked heaven. Blocked spirit man. The deeper we search, the nearer we arrive to do what we do not know. Job 9, verse 10, Psalm 46, 1, and Psalm 136, 4. No illumination. Blocked heaven. Blocked heaven. Blocked heaven. Blocked heaven. People say, I can't get my prayer through. I go, how come? Blocked spirit man. I can't get in touch with God. How come? He's ever present. He said, I'll go with you all the way, even to the end of the earth. He's there. He's near. He's close. He's around you. But what happens is this spirit that infects us, and we miss God's timing. We miss God's timing. We absolutely miss God's timing. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to finish this tomorrow. I got two more thoughts to do, but I'm going to finish them tomorrow. This way I can end the week. Okay? Understand what we're trying to do here. Understand we are trying to tell you and trying to give you information about God's timing in your life, and we miss it. It's like standing on a platform waiting for the train and miss the train while the train's right in front of us. Train's right there. And the doors open and we don't get on the train. Then we complain that God's not blessing us. Ooh, gee, that's going to bounce back in who knows how many places. God's not blessing me. Did you get on the train? Oh, no, I'm not getting on no train. I'm not blessed or favored. God's not going to do that for me. No. Don't understand. Just don't understand how God's spirit works. How God's function works. Train's right, and here comes a train down the track. We all relate to that. Train stops, doors open, we stand there. Well, I'll just look for the next one. Out it goes, and the next one don't come for years. Had the opportunity, had the occasion for favor. Had the opportunity to reach out and say, okay, God, now is the time. Like, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. That's a real series right there. Now is the time. Look it up. Now is the time to wake out. What? Wake from what? From sleep. Now, I'm not talking about getting 8 hours and dreaming about whatever. I'm talking about spiritual time. Now is the time. Awaken, old sleeper. Awaken, old sleeper. Don't you know? That's what that crew member said to Jonah. Awaken thou, old sleeper, we perish. Understand how to be blessed. Ooh, that's another series. My goodness. Understand how to be blessed. Understand. I'm going to say that again. Understand how to be blessed. Well, that's right from God. Understand how to be blessed in your life. Understand it. And when you understand it, God will just bless you in all kinds of different ways. Wow. Wow. Let me tell you something. Let me be personal here. God asked me this morning. I do my word studies. You know that. Those that know me, I do the word studies every day, and I get into not only the word, I look at a word, and I do it every day. And after I'd done that, I took a little break because I knew I had to come in and set the programs up. And I was standing, I wanted to get some orange juice, so I went and got some orange juice, which I like, and I was drinking the oranges, and the Spirit of God spoke to me. And I know when God speaks to me. And I said, yes, Lord. He said, what if I gave you $1 million? What would you do with it? I said, oh, that's easy, Lord. That's easy. I'd give it all away. You heard correctly. I'd give it all away. I said, I know what I'd do. Lord, I'd go and I'd build a church for Pastor Gloria in Pakistan so she could reach thousands. Because, Lord, I know the problem is they're out of room. They don't have any more space in the facility. If there was twice as much space, they had Sunday twice as many people. I know that. And Lord, if they had the space to do that educational academy, they'd have more and more and more kids. So Lord, I'd give part of that to Pakistan. I'm as serious as I can be, and I'm making it public. And Lord, I know that the Tonga kids, they'd never have to concern themselves with money again. I'd buy them every clothes they needed. I'd buy them more food than they could ever eat. I'd put staff on as fast as I can get them hired. I'd touch Pastor Ellie over there and bless her. That's what I would do. That's what I would do. And Lord, I'd take some of the ministry that I know in the United States, and I know pastors that are struggling and pastors that are crying and weeping, saying, what are we going to do? And Lord, I'd find those pastors, I'd bless them. I'd bless them. And I stopped. I was standing there with my orange juice. This happened about 3 hours ago. I said, that's what I would do, Lord. I said, help me to sell that book. Help me to sell that book, because you have to see, when you sow a seed, listen, when you sow a seed, if you want something, you got to sow a seed to get it. You sow a seed to get it, like that popcorn we talked about. You sow a seed to get it. And what you do for others, God will do for you. Absolutely. That's a biblical principle. Give and it shall be given unto you. Doesn't it say that? Yeah. And Lord, help to make that book, Grace Points, 50 Devotions on Grace, let it sell enough copies to generate $1 million worth of proceeds so I can take that $1 million and do what's on my heart. And I just got blessed. I just got blessed standing there with in the kitchen with the orange juice. God began to bless me and mightily touch me, like even now. Even now, even this very moment, even this second, God begins to bless you if you understand the word of the Lord and you don't allow the enemy to come in and go against your life. And when you understand that, you rebuke the devil and he'll flee from you. Hallelujah. Timing is everything. Timing is everything. I don't know how many copies of that book it'll take to make $1 million in proceeds to me. I don't know. I can't tell you. Not going to try to figure it out either. And every time someone gets a book, you know, just mark it off the list. No. No. I believe it's going to happen very quickly. And let me tell you something, listener. Listen well. God has something planned for you beyond your wildest imagination and wildest dream. Just be very, very sensitive to the Holy Spirit and how He may do it. It may come in a unique way. It may come in a way that you never thought possible. Don't sit there and say, well, I guess I'll just stand on the platform and God's Spirit go right past you and you miss what God has for you. Just right past you. Never reaching your spiritual destiny. Beloved, there are churches like that. They've never reached their spiritual destiny. They've been on that corner for decades and they've never reach their spiritual destiny. They never have. Why? Because they don't see the vision of what God can do and the timing. Heavenly Father, this is an anointed moment for somebody out here today. It's an anointed moment for somebody. I don't know who they are and where they are or what their need is or what's on their heart, but I know this. This is a moment for somebody. Father, let transformation minister to them. Let your power touch them. Let the Holy Ghost of God strengthen them right now. Anoint those pastors. Anoint those congregations. Anoint those children of God. Help them, Lord. Help them, Jesus. And God, we thank you that the time is now. It's a high time that we wake out of sleep. It's a high time to understand how God works in our lives. So, Lord, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, send forth your Spirit, your glory, your angels, and, Lord, let them remember, if they want something from you, they have to plant the seed to get it. That's how the kingdom works. So bless now, Lord. And Lord, since I'm in this motion with you, Father, lay your hands upon those that are sick and afflicted today. Lay your hands of healing. Now is the time for healing in their lives, right now. Now is the occasion for healing in their lives. Now is the moment, hallelujah, that the power and presence and the healing virtue that was born on Calvary's cross, heal them right now in their body, in their mind, in their spirit, and wherever, oh Lord, wherever, Lord, they need that help in today. And Father, I believe it. This is like having church. This is like having church. Hallelujah. We trust you, God, in Jesus' name.